The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they say the only thing constant in life is change. And no doubt, change has been the byword for the Bucks this year. A new coach patrols the sideline. A blockbuster trade still has Bucks fans buzzing. And in the middle of it all, new faces have joined the top of the organization. You've heard the names Jimmy and Dee Haslam. Jimmy built one of the largest private companies in America. Dee heads a TV production firm. They've both been sports fans from the get-go, and they bring more than a decade of experience in the world of pro sports. Tonight, we go up close and personal with one of the new owners of the Bucks, Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy, welcome to Courtside. Thanks so much for spending time with us.
Gail, thanks. Our pleasure. Delighted to be on.
Well, Jimmy, you joined the Bucks ownership group just a few months ago, and ever since, it's been blockbuster deal after blockbuster deal. You're generating, Jimmy, some excitement here in Milwaukee.
Well, I don't. It's not us generating this excitement. Wes and Mark and team have done a great job rebuilding this franchise almost from scratch. So we feel very fortunate to be a small part of it. But we have had a lot of change during that time period. Obviously, we replaced Mark, and are certainly excited to work in with Wes and Jamie Dimon and Mike Fraticelli and some of our other Fassatelli and some of our other partners. So we're looking forward to that. And of course, we made the coaching change and really excited about Adrian and his team. And then the huge trade that John was able to engineer, getting Dame and bringing Dame to the Bucks, and obviously adding one of the great shooters in the game. And then announcing that we had extended Giannis and he'll now be with us for at least four more years. And we believe he'll finish his career here in Milwaukee. So lots going on, as you said, Gail. We're anxious to see how the team does on the court because that's what counts.
And Jimmy, with Giannis signing the extension, first of all, were you surprised at the timing?
Pleasantly surprised. John and Giannis have a very close relationship, and I give the two of them credit for working it out. Wes and I had spent a decent amount of time with Giannis back in the spring, had conversations with his agents over the summer, and then spent a couple of hours with he and his family last night. And what a remarkable person. Obviously a superstar player, but I've told several of my friends in the sporting world, I don't know that I've ever met a more humble superstar than Giannis, and you all know that because you work with him. And great family. His two of his brothers were there. His wife was there, his mom, his three kids, and just family is really important to them like it is to us. So we feel fortunate to have not only re-signed this great player, but also a great person. And like I said, I believe he'll be a Milwaukee Buck the rest of his career.
Jimmy, did you get to hold the new baby?
Unless that D was with me and she held the new baby. It was an interesting time because we had, you know, we had Wes and his brothers at the table and myself. And then later the family came in, and the family were in the trophy room over there kind of where the couches are, and we were sitting at the table. And so the boys were up and about it, and they were playing with their dad and coming over to talk to Wes and I, but it was interesting. And we have six grandchildren, so we felt right at home. So we held the baby. That's probably – she's a lot better at that than I am. But great family, great mom, great wife, and like I said, that's important to us. So it was great to see and spend time with them up front and personal.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, Jimmy, you mentioned earlier Dame coming to town. The opportunity to bring in a superstar like Damian Lillard comes along, you know, maybe once in a generation. But to make that trade work, we had to give up Drew Holiday, who is beloved, as you know, here in Milwaukee. Walk us, if you will, through your thought process as you and the other owners approved the trade.
Well, I want to, first of all, particularly from my standpoint, Wes is a little closer, having been here and been involved in the NBA a lot longer than we have. John did all the spade work in getting Dame to come here and engineer the trade. And Wes and I, of course, and Jamie have to sign off on it. But John did all of the hard work. And listen, we were talking with Giannis last night. You're not going to find and I don't know Drew personally, but know of him, a better person, a better defensive player, a better point guard. I mean, he's just a tremendous all-around person and player like Giannis is. The flip side is to get a shooter and a scorer like Dame is just rare, and he's still in the prime of his career. And to pair him with Giannis, we just thought was an unbelievable opportunity, and we're going to miss Drew and obviously thank him. He helped bring us a championship here, played a key role in the Bucks, and I think up until we made the trade, we thought he would finish his career too. We thank Drew. We wish him the best of luck. Really excited, though, to have Dame on the team, part of the team, and seeing if he can help bring us another championship. And I think we all know at the end of the game, particularly when you get down the stretch in the playoffs, to be able to make big shots from the outside is what wins those games. And you could argue he's one of the top one, two, or three in all of the NBA at making those kind of shots at the end of the game.
And, Jimmy, as you know very well, Dame's range from three-point land is just unbelievable.
It really is. It really is. We were we came up, Dee and I, Wes was there, Jamie was there, came up to watch the first practice. I think it was on Tuesday or the 3rd of October. And just to watch him shoot warming up is, I don't think I've seen anything like it. They have this Bucks 100, which is how many three-pointers you can make out of 100. And I think the record before Dame got here, don't hold me to this, was high 70s or low 80s. Remember, this is three-pointers. And Dame got off the plane, they said, he saw it. He said, I want to try that. And I think he hit 93.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, just, he's truly a remarkable shooter. And I think the other thing that we've come to appreciate and that Giannis was talking about last night when we were meeting is he's also a very serious guy like Giannis is. He's an adult. He's a great family guy. And he came here with one thing and one thing in mind, that's to win an NBA championship. And that's one of several reasons we're super excited to have him here and pair him with Giannis and Chris and Brooke and the rest of our guys.
And, Jimmy, you mentioned earlier we have a brand-new coach, Adrian Griffin. First-time coach,
right.
Long-time experience, and a former player. Give us your thoughts as you help to interview Adrian Griffin. Give us your thoughts about what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you mentioned that he's a former player, okay? And I think that gives you a different perspective. You don't have to be a former player to be a great coach. There's lots of examples of guys that played or didn't play. But he's a former player, and he's also worked his way up as an assistant. I think he's had about every possible job you could have in college and a pro as an assistant. So I think those are two great strengths he brings. He has a tremendous work ethic, okay? He, of course, is more of a defensive specialist. He's a highly competitive guy. I don't know if you've gone to watch him practice or not, but everything is competitive in practice, okay? Whether they scrimmage and they play till 10, the team that loses runs wind sprints. Mm-hmm. They play a one-on-one tournament. Everything is competitive. And I just think he brings tremendous intensity, tremendous competitiveness. But at the same time, I think he reads and relates to people well. And you guys know we're going to start our first game on October the, 26th, this Thursday, and hopefully we'll play our last game on about June 20th. That's a long season, 82 games plus playoffs, a lot of travel, et cetera, and you've got to be able to know how to read and relate to players. Now, he's a first-time coach. He'll stumble a little bit like we all do the first time we get in a job, but we're excited about Adrian and his staff and seeing him lead this great team of players.
And, Jimmy, stepping back, with all the changes and all the action that's led up to opening night, what have you kind of personally taken away about the Bucks, about the organization, and about sustaining a winning culture here?
It's interesting you asked that question because I walked out of the trophy room last night after we had just – it was a surreal moment, right? Nobody thought this was going to happen. We re-signed Giannis for another 4 years, and like I said, effectively, meaning he's going to be with us his whole career. So that stigma of will Giannis leave or not is off of us, right? Giannis is going to be here. Okay, so now we can focus on winning championships and building around him for the indefinite future. But what I complimented Wes and John on, and I take no credit, they've done it, and other people in the organization is this really is a tight-knit organization. And family is important, and you hear that a lot, and I kind of poo-paw that sometimes, but you know, we spent time with Chris Middleton. Wes and I did this summer. We were in town and had lunch with him. I think we had dinner with Giannis. And this is a close, tight-knit group. We all went to dinner on Monday, October the 2nd, and you watch them interact. And, you know, listen, you range in age from guys that are 35, I guess Brooks 35, 36, down to, you know, Cliff Livingston's, what, 19? So that's a pretty big disparity in age range, but it's a really close, tight-knit organization. And that's one of the reasons, maybe the main reason, why I think Giannis stayed here. He likes the family part, and he trusts the people here, and that's why he re-signed with us rather than waiting. So that's my number one impression. I take no credit. I give it to other people that preceded us and that are here now, but it really is a close, tight-knit organization.
More with Jimmy Haslam in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I know that you've devoted your career to building one of the largest private companies in America.
Well, I would say to help build is a better way. My wife Dee and I were both born in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're both second generations in terms of our businesses. Dee's dad was in the advertising business and was one of the early leaders in cable television, specifically producing cable shows when cable first came on stream, I guess back in the 80s or 90s, whenever it was. And he recognized there was going to be a tremendous need for high quality, relatively affordable content, and started producing shows in, of all places, Knoxville, Tennessee. He sold that company to Scripps, and that company, by the way, is now HGTV.
Oh.
So we both grew up in family businesses. We got married, had kids early, and so everything revolved around work and family, and we both have been exposed to sports at an early age. My dad started one gas station in Gate City, Virginia, on the Tennessee-Virginia line in 1958. Was in the gas station convenience store business until the 70s. We came to work in 1976, and we got the truck stop business in the 80s, and through a combination of love, skill, hard work, and a lot of great people around us, we're able to build a pretty substantial company over the next really 30, 35 years. We've now sold all but 20% of the company to Berkshire Hathaway. They're the majority shareholder. And it's been great fun, just like we were talking the first segment about building a sports team and sports organization. Building a business organization is very similar to sports in that it's highly competitive. You keep score every day. You know exactly where you are. You have good days and bad days. But it was a true privilege to first work at and then have the opportunity to lead an organization like Pilot Flying J.
When did you start thinking about basically trying to own a pro sports team, and how did the opportunity present itself?
Really good question. As we mentioned, we grew up around sports. I mean, I can remember going to watch Tennessee football practices when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. And so we grew up around college sports. In the 90s, we actually bought the minor league baseball team in Knoxville, the AA baseball team. It was a franchise of Toronto at the time, and then later switched over to the Cubs. And we owned that, my father, my brother, and myself, with some local partners, I guess for 10 or 15 years, and sold it to a great friend of ours in Knoxville. And just by, you know, there's a lot of luck in life. And in our main business, Pilot Flying J, it takes a tremendous amount of capital or money to build stores and buy stores and grow like we did. So we were always talking with the banks about borrowing money, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the banks was in one day, and we went to dinner, and we were leaving, and there was a younger guy at the other end of the table who didn't say much. I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. I said, "Well, what do you do with the bank?" And he said, "Well, my specialty is pro sports. I'm just tagging along with these guys today." And that was in about 2000, I'm going to say, 3 or 4. And I said, "Well, anything ever comes up, call me." And I gave him a business card. And about 3 years later, he called. I barely remembered him. And he said, "Hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers are selling 3 or 4 increments of 10% each. Would you have any interest in buying into the Steelers?" And I actually said no, because it's a minority and we wouldn't have control. And I really didn't think very much. I just said no. And to his credit, he called me back, Gale, about a week later and said, "Do you ever come to Pittsburgh?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I'm headed there next week. We just opened up a new truck stop just south of Pittsburgh. And So I'm going to come up there. Why? And he said, why don't you come have lunch with Art and Dan Rooney? And I walked in and told the lady I was here to see the Rooney. She said, go up to the second floor. And elevator opens up, and there's five Super Bowl trophies. They've since won a sixth. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are, Gail, you see five Super Bowl trophies, you go, that's pretty cool. I came away, and I came back and told my dad and my brother, I said, they're just like we are. They have a family business. It's not nearly as financially successful, but it's obviously an NFL team. There's hardly anything that's higher profile. I think I want to do the 10%. My brother always wants to think about things. My dad says, I wouldn't do that. You're not going to like being a minority guy. You like to be in charge, or we like to be in charge, what he said. I said, well, I think I'm going to do it. And he just dogged me for about 3 days. And I said, well, I'm going to New York next week. Why don't you go with me, and you can meet the guys at the NFL. The Rooneys want me to meet them. So the whole way up, he was on me, Dale. This is stupid. You're not going to like it. My dad played football in Tennessee, and then he was in ROTC. So we went in the military for 2 years. Well, the first year in the military, he played service football, which was a big deal at that time. And you'll never believe who his coach was. His coach was Al Davis. And they were exact opposites, but they got to be great friends. And so he and Dan Rooney started talking about Al Davis, and Art Rooney and I are the same age. So we just struck up conversations. Well, we get in the car going back to the airport, and he turns to me and goes, when are we going to buy the 10%? And I said, well, are we writing a check? And he goes, no, I want you to, but I changed my mind. I think it's a good idea. And so he got that first year. That shows you how things can be misleading. That was 07. Before we even paid for our 10%, the Steelers won the Super Bowl in Tampa. And when the Lerners decided to put the Browns up for sale, here again, we were lucky. They didn't want to go through a public process. And the NFL called us and said, you got a month to work it out. And we were very fortunate to work it out with them. And that's how we got the Browns, like I said, as much luck as skill. And then, of course, we were able to get the Columbus Crew when they were thinking about moving to Austin back in, I guess, 2019. And now to buy into the Bucks is just an extreme privilege. And that happened earlier this year, I think in April of 23.
We'll have more with Jimmy Haslam right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy, I'm sure you've learned a lot in the decade or more since you took the reins of the Cleveland Browns. And more recently, as you mentioned, you purchased the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. Just thinking broadly, what are the two or three most important things you've learned about building success in the world of pro sports?
Yeah, really good question. And we've learned the hard way. And early on at the Browns, we were not as involved as we should have been. And what I would say this is pro sports is no different than business or a lot of things in life. You have to have the right people in the right place. And in pro sports, that's coach, GM, and then you have to have somebody run the business side. And then in the NFL, it's quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And then in the NBA, of course, you need at least two really good players or two great players. In soccer, it's a little different. Some teams build up the middle, some build on the sides. But I'd say it's all about what we call at our main company, Pilot Flying J, RPRP, which GALE stands for getting the right people in the right place.
Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense. And Jimmy, over the past few years, the Deer District here in Milwaukee has become quite a gathering place for sports fans and non-sports fans. And I understand that you're hoping to help create a similar development along the lakefront in Cleveland where the Browns play.
We are. I think that one of the people asked me what has changed in sports since we got in it. And first of all, I think all of the major sports leagues in the U.S. are a bigger deal than ever. I think the most valuable content by far in the world, and particularly in the U.S., is live sports content. I mean, people just like it. I would argue that in the divisive world we live in, that sports help bring people together. And you might be a red guy and I might be a blue guy in terms of our political beliefs, but we're all for the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's all that counts that night at that game. Mm-hmm. And I think what you've seen develop, not just in Milwaukee, and Wes and Mike Fascitelli and Jamie and Mark did a tremendous job in taking what I understood, Gail, I never saw it, was an old brownfield site, and turning it into a cool entertainment district. Obviously around Fiserv Arena, We're doing a miniature version of that in Columbus, where we built the new soccer stadium. We built a parking deck, a parking garage, along with the city of Columbus. We built an office building for a local logistics company, a 250,000 square foot office building, and then we're going to build several hundred multifamily or apartment units around there. And I think people like living and being around major sports stadiums. And we're going to look at doing the same thing in Cleveland. There's a lot to be worked out there. It has never been done before, but hopefully we'll be able to have the same type of impact in northeastern Ohio. But it's exciting and it's fun. Ironically, I told you how we got started in sports. The baseball stadium that we played in is actually in Sevierville, about 45 minutes from Knoxville. They're building a new stadium in Knoxville in downtown, and we're participating in some of the development around that stadium with our friend who owns the team. So I think you will see more and more real estate development, entertainment districts like we did in the Deer District created across the country, because it's fun. And we are in the sports business, but a lot of that is entertainment. In all our businesses, we talk about how do we give the fan a great experience, not only at the game, but also now it's become 365 days a year. I mean, people want to know what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks all the time. Yes. And Dee and I both grew up in the Southeast, Gale, but one thing we've come to appreciate is how intense the fans are about their sports teams in the upper Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
And whether that's in Cleveland or Milwaukee or Chicago or Columbus, but we grew up in Knoxville, and everybody's how they feel about life rises and falls with how the Tennessee Vols do. It's the same thing with the Browns or the Cavs or the Guardians in Cleveland, and obviously it's the same thing with the Bucks, the Brewers, and up the road, the Packers in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin. So sports are a big deal in that part of the world, and we're excited to be part of it. And there's a lot of similarities between Cleveland and Milwaukee, both blue-collar, hardworking people, really good people. And fortunately, they love their sports.
Well, you nailed it, Jimmy. Absolutely. And finally, as the season kicks into high gear, I know that you and Dee will be spending more time here in Milwaukee. So here's a loaded question. What's your impression of our fair city so far?
You know, we always believe in being transparent. We spent one night there, okay? To comment a lot doesn't make sense, but I'll just repeat what I just said. Matter of fact, we were riding in yesterday to go meet with Giannis, and Dee and I commented. I said, you look out there, and you're looking at Lake Michigan, not Lake Erie, but they're, you know, they're towns that have been there for a while, but gritty, working class, blue collar, love sports. But also there's two or three nice-sized buildings going up in Milwaukee. So we're excited to be part of the community, excited to get to know people. You know, we came in really late. Unfortunately, Giannis got hurt in the first playoff game. We took a way earlier exit than we all anticipated. So we're looking forward to spending time in Milwaukee, getting to know the people. And, you know, or just listen, Dee says it way better than I do. To be part of a pro sports franchise is a blessing. We view ourselves as just guardian of that asset until somebody else's turn to run it. But we're excited about being even a small part of Milwaukee with the Bucks, and can't wait to get going.
Amen. Well, Jimmy, welcome to Milwaukee. Welcome to the Bucks. We're delighted that you spent some time with us. Thank you so much. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.